Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beers, a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
Vince, I'm in a good mood today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm feeling lots of good vibrations going through my
body. Yeah, it's
like
on a wavelength,
yeah,
right? It's almost like you just had the last slice of pie.
Oh, yeah.
Mmm.
You just got in there before everybody else?
Oh, yeah.
I guess you could say that we got some good vibrations.
Bum, 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 bum. Which one are we going to do?
Feel it, feel it!
Okay, I didn't know if you were going Marky Marker. Good vibrations.
I don't want to try to harmonize with you on the fly. We would need to practice that. I don't think we've sang since the Edmund Fitzgerald episode.
Are you sure? That was, people are still talking about it. They're saying it was the best version of that song ever recorded.
This could be the best pie-related episode we've ever recorded. Tell us what this is all about.
Good Vibrations is a creation from our friends at Noon Whistle Brewing.
We'll talk about that.
In Chicago, Illinois. And it is, interestingly enough, a part of a series. They have 11 iterations, Tom.
Yes, I was very surprised to learn this.
Can you name them all? I know you can.
Yeah.
We have them in front of us.
You know cherry and key lime and coconut cream, maple pecan and pumpkin pie screams. But do you recall apple and cranberry, lemon meringue, cherry and pineapple, raspberry and lemon, apple pie, and blackberry and peach.
Did they skip the one that we're drinking? I don't even see it. They skipped the one we're drinking. 12. Yeah. There's 12. We are drinking banana cream pie.
Yeah. 12 iterations. This must be a popular series, Vince.
It must be. It must be. And what's interesting about this series is that they don't use the same base every time. For example, what we have in our hands is a Hefeweizen.
Yes, which we have done somewhat recently on the show. Obviously not like this. The description is very straightforward. This is a banana and clove from the Yeastland with sweet aromas that prepare you for an indulgent treat. And the smooth vanilla cream and ripe bananas bestow bountiful flavors upon you. And the pie crust completes this brew, making this Hefeweizen irresistible. It does contain lactose, which I know you're not
shocker.
Huge on.
What a shocker.
And for longtime historians of FNB, you will be familiar with this company because we did our first episode ever on
Buy the Ticket, Take the Ride.
We also did our 9th ever episode on Gummy Boots, which was a collab with Penrose.
Yep.
And in season 2, we did a great beer called It's Noon, Where is Gary, which was also a collab with Alarmist. Vince, in all that excitement, we never really got into what Noon Whistle's all about.
No, we didn't. So here's a little bit about the boys at Noon Whistle, and they are boys. Why don't we crack while I give them the skinny?
Might as well find out what's sweet about them, huh?
Ooh.
Yeah. I can't wait to smell this.
Cheers, Tom.
Ooh, oh, God, that is...
This smells like it could be good. I'll be honest.
Hits you hard. Mm. I'm going to sip it
right
now.
Take a little sip.
That literally goes down as sweet as pie.
It tastes like a banana cream pie. I can taste the banana. I don't hate this. No, I really don't.
It's pretty pleasant.
When I picked this out, I was certain. I was like, this is going to break us. We may never record again. But I couldn't not pick it out. Noon Whistle has been very kind to us. They've been great guys. Why not get into the founding? Growing up, brewmaster Paul Kreiner and his extended family spent summer vacations in a small town in central Wisconsin where every day at noon, the town whistle blew. Sounding of the noon whistle indicated it was time to crack open the first beer of the day. Tradition was about drinking...
Wait a minute. This was a real thing that happened in their town?
Yes. 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 In their summer vacation town.
That is incredible.
Tradition was about drinking great beer, of course, but more importantly, creating lasting memories with family and friends. In 2012, Paul and his two lifelong friends, Mike Conan and Jim Cagle, decided to open a brewery in Illinois. We've heard this story a million times before. They officially opened their doors in 2014 with an original production facility and tasting room in Lombard, Illinois. We have covered this transition here at some point. They expanded that space in 2020. And since then, they moved the majority of their brewing to Naperville. I've had a great time with Noon Whistle. I think they are a Chicago staple. I love them. Actually, at a Bears tailgate, I happened to be at a tailgate there right next door. These guys were extremely kind and generous with their time and were fun to talk to, so appreciate them.
Well, we're excited to have them back in the program. And Vince, I have to say, you know, I was a little skeptical given how you love really sweet drinks and I'm not super into it, but this is just, it literally is a treat. It tastes very sweet and it feels like dessert in a can.
I'm not going to lie. I also knew that this would allow us to talk about pie, which I'm very passionate about. So I'm thrilled that we're going that direction.
I'm excited to hear this passion. Yeah.
So banana cream pie is not even remotely, it's not even a top 10 favorite pie flavor for me. Keep that in mind when I say that this is delicious. I don't think I can have more than one of them, quite frankly. And I was very nervous when I saw Hefeweizen, and even more nervous when I saw lactose, which I don't know how you make this without lactose.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
As far as favorite pies go, Vince, I'd love to hear who makes your Mount Rushmore.
Oh, my Mount Rushmore? Yeah. Oh, my God. Jeez.
Yeah.
This is
Since
brutal.
This doesn't even crack your top 10.
Well, a triple berry pie is probably up there for sure. Triple berry. I love a good apple pie. I'm a huge fan of that. There's also like a strawberry jello pie that's delicious. Love that. I don't know if that counts as a full pie. As much as I don't love blueberry in my beers, I love a good blueberry pie. Nice little crust on top.
Yeah, we're at four, so you make
I'm very berry forward. No. We're extending. We found some more mountain
we're,
space
we're
to carve.
We're putting Martin Van Buren on the mountain now.
I'm just gonna round it out with a fifth one here because this was a shocker for me. I know I said the strawberry already, but strawberry rhubarb. It was my first introduction to rhubarb. I had no idea what rhubarb was, but apparently you can't really have a strawberry pie without rhubarb.
You named some pies that I wasn't even thinking of, and I have no real pie-based relationship
Boston with. Cream pie.
I've had some of those.
Banana cream. Oh my God, I'm a fool. Nope, I messed it all up. Pumpkin pie is right at the top. Have you ever had a pecan pie?
Sure I have.
Oh man, that I didn't see that coming.
I think
sweet potato pie.
I think I'm gonna stick to the four format that I'm comfortable with. For sure, you gotta have pumpkin pie. By the way, Mel Kiper Jr. eats pumpkin pie every single day. It's a notable thing about his past. Then I gotta go with key lime pie, a Florida staple.
Oh yeah, that's
and
great.
The ones I've had in Southwest Florida are the best ever. I think I'm also with you on apple pies. Gotta be part of the conversation. But one you have not mentioned somehow in this pie analysis.
I didn't say raspberry, but it is in triple berry.
French silk pie.
It doesn't really. French silk pie falls in the same category for me as that strawberry jello pie, where like, it's a dessert. It's more of a cake to me, a French silk pie.
I have a lot of fond memories with French silk pie, and my friend Matt Mindel would be furious with me if I didn't include it in my Mount Rushmore.
So. You know what? I take it back. It's a pie. A pie's a pie.
Yeah.
Let a pie be a pie.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Pie is delicious. Here's the other thing. I'm not really a big dessert guy. This is one of my hottest takes, though.
That checks out.
I went, one of my years of New Year's resolutions was I said I wasn't going to eat dessert for a whole year, and my family was horrified. It was like I told them that I was going to start doing heroin every day. They were like, what do you mean? You're not going to have dessert. You're not going to have this.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
And so I went the whole year, and since that, this was like 12 years ago, my cravings for dessert are like non-existent. It happens like a couple times a year. So like Thanksgiving, the holidays.
Pumpkin pie.
Right. Other than that, though, like, I don't, like, have a craving for sweets, really, at all.
I can't control myself. I get it from my mom, for sure. Big sweet tooth. I'll tell you right now, I bought, I want to say 13 or 14 inch pumpkin pie at Costco with the full intention of like, oh, this will be parceled up and, you know, Maura will have some too. Also, it's $5.99. What a steal. I ate the entire thing by myself in a week. Like,
oh, well, my grandpa's got you beat by 6 days. He ate a whole key lime pie in one day. And my sister, this is an infamous story. She confronted him about this and was like, Grandpa, did you eat this whole pie? And his response was, listen, you cheeky little girl. I'll have as much pie as I want as long as you're in my house.
Oh, my God. What a vicious response.
Yeah. He was big on desserts. Yeah.
Listen, don't blame him at all. And the most interesting part about consuming a pie by yourself is you start out with great intentions, right? You cut a reasonable slice and you remove it and you put it on a plate. Maybe you dress it with some whipped cream, then you eat it. The next time you go in, you take a little bit of a bigger slice, something that's less reasonable, like a quarter of the pie. Take that out. You don't have time for whipped cream. You don't even need a fork. You probably use a spoon. Then half the pie is gone. You don't even get a plate anymore. You just
pulling it out.
You don't even use a knife. You use the spoon to cut yourself a slice, push it across, and eat it from the tin. The next step is you just completely stop cutting it and just start scooping pieces of pie out because no one's eating it at this point except for you. And the final step is there's just one big quarter left and you just haul that bad boy out and take a bite. This is what happens. I just become an animal. Like two, what is it, like 10,000 years of evolution just out the window.
All from one pie.
All from one pie. All from one pie. And it's not my fault.
Vince, I can't believe I'm saying this. That was maybe your most flawless analysis of how you eat a whole pie by yourself. That was incredible. They should put that in the Smithsonian. You're a fucking pie expert, and I've never known this about you.
I'll tell you what, I don't want a birthday cake, I want a birthday pie. I think pie is fantastic, and I think the rest of America used to agree with me. When did cakes overtake pie? Would you have pie over a cake right now, Tom?
I have dessert so seldomly, I don't think in those terms. Like,
That's true.
To me, my dessert intake is like what people do on Spotify. They look up one specific thing and they listen to it and then they move on. It's not like a whole album, you know? Like, oh, like people used to buy albums. People used to buy...
We used to be a culture. We
used to be a real culture. Here's what we're going to do, Vince. We're going to pour some of this pie drink into
your glass. Yeah, I'm curious. I want to see what it looks like. I'm scared. Oh, all right.
I think I knew exactly what this was
going to look like. It just looks like a thick Hefeweizen. Really great smell on it. Beautiful.
It might be even sweeter out of the glass.
Yeah, that's just fantastic.
So, Vince, we've talked a lot about just pies as a whole, but I want to talk about American pie.
I knew you'd want to go there.
Well, it's obvious, but it needs to be discussed. And honestly, I don't think we've even talked about this on our show.
Have you ever banged a pie, Tom?
Mom, I hope you're not listening to this. I've never fucked a pie. Okay. You thought I was about to admit to that?
When I admit to fucking a pie, I want my mom to hear.
Here's a fun fact. There are two versions of the original film. The unrated version, he has intercourse with the pie. In the R-rated version, he's just like sticking his fingers in it.
And then you don't see it, but the pie is in shambles.
Yeah, the pie is destroyed. Because obviously, like, they didn't bring out a second pie. They're like, maybe we should do one that's less crazy.
Eugene Levy looking over this destroyed pie and just going, we'll tell your mother you ate it. Like, what kind of animal?
When we were growing up, we were a little too young to be seeing those movies when they came out. But I wanted to see them really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, yes. Naked chicks.
Stifler.
Yeah, guys doing crazy stuff. Guys that I don't even know about, but I'm just assuming is fun.
Stifler's mom, Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah. And they were like huge sensations. I mean, the fact that there are like 10 American Pie movies is absolutely wild. I did a rewatch like a couple years ago. I think it was one of my COVID binges.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they talk about sex in those movies is completely insane.
Oh, do you remember the, was it called the Twister? Or the, yeah, the Twister, right?
Yeah.
FYI, I don't think that works.
I mean, I don't want to break news on this show, but like, I've had sex now. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I know some people listening probably have too.
An inspiration.
I think those movies are way different if you haven't had sex versus if you have, you know?
Which is the target, right?
Right. They're targeting people that know nothing about it. So the way they describe it seems right.
Yeah.
And funny.
Yeah.
And then you have that and you're like, that's not what it's like.
No, nothing. Nothing.
But I will say the soundtrack of those movies is fucking great.
Yeah, I bet that hits. That's right in Tom's Q zone.
It's exactly in my Q zone. The pop punk era. That was when pop punk was in like every major movie.
Dude, I walked in today and my immediate thought was, oh, I'm in American Pie. I'm a supporting character now.
Because I was listening to pop punk earlier?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any other American Pie related memories just watching it or seeing
No, I just remember it being this forbidden fruit that I definitely wasn't allowed to watch. And like then, you know, you grow up and you watch it and you're like, yeah, I kind of get it. It's okay.
Which character do you think you were most closely like in those films?
Oh, most closely like?
Yeah.
I would say, honestly, I identified the most with Jim, I think.
Yeah.
Because he was just like this incredibly horny but awkward guy who got pushed into doing things he didn't particularly want to do. Yeah. He knew he would eventually have to do them, but he got pushed into like doing them by his friends. And I'm not saying this happened to me directly, but I think if I truly, when I was growing up, did not care at all what any of my friends thought, I would be a lot less experienced than I am in life. Like, there's just a lot of things I'd be like, nah, I don't need to do that. Nah, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's nervous. That makes me nervous. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Biggs is like the guy I think of first with all those movies. But
right?
I think for me, the character that I felt the most like was Oz, because he was kind of a jock who was doing some artistic stuff and was like a little bit like embarrassed to admit that he liked it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like doing the acapella stuff.
And he, your classic Troy Bolton.
Yeah, and he presented himself like he was like, you know, knew exactly what he was doing with girls in high school, but really he really did not know much. I don't know anybody who would say they were like a stifler, but I could probably name some names if we were really being
I don't know honest. Who wants to admit to that, truthfully.
No one wants to admit to it, but you know that people were like that.
You also can't have the movie without him. You can't have any of the movies without him.
Was anybody like a Finch in your group? Like a little bit of a pretentious upward mobility guy?
No, I don't think so. Like Finch was kind of a character that I would say is least believable. Like I did not identify with him in the friend group.
I don't think that I ever thought that Jennifer Coolidge would become the most famous of everybody from that.
No. Well, Jason Biggs is pretty famous.
So is Sean William Scott. But
yeah.
I'm just saying right now, she's definitely the most famous current
That's fair.
Actor.
That's fair. And you're not a fan of Jennifer Coolidge. You've been OD'd on her.
I didn't think she was my favorite part of White Lotus. I think that's the most generous way to describe it.
Yeah, you ate the whole pie in less than a week.
Yeah. I got a sugar rush and overdose on that.
Okay.
Vince, one other thing that I want to bring up with you, just off the title, Good Vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that give you good vibes?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good vibes. Little tropical house music. That's always some good vibes.
Kygo
before someone broke his heart. And he wrote arguably the best breakup album of all time. That's a hot take.
That is a hot take.
And I'm certain I'm wrong about that.
But you're on a dessert high right now.
I am. So just let it rip. I've got that banana cream just all up in my brain. I've recently come to understand the two glasses of wine drunk. I think that's immaculate vibes right there. It's perfect. Two glasses of red. White wine, for some reason, doesn't get me there. But two glasses of red wine, and I'm like, yeah. Okay. Everything is right.
That's spoken like someone in their mid-30s. For
sure. I know. Between unearthing myself as a complete pie nerd and this.
Loving two glasses of wine. No, I'm not judging it. I'm just pointing that out.
It's just good vibes.
I have also, I've kind of realized that the first sip of the first beer I have on a big night is the biggest like rush I get of the whole night.
But that's like a big rush. Is a big rush good vibes for you?
I think that because of how I operate, like that just kickstarts a whole night of good vibes, you know? I would also agree with the house, but I would edit it to Rufus Du Sol. When I listen to Rufus Du Sol, I'm pretty jammed up for
so
that.
So your vibes are just on a higher frequency. Mine are very lo-fi, like, let's just kind of relax.
I think
and yours is
out,
like,
though.
Yeah, let's go. This is a great vibe.
Yeah. I'm a high-energy guy when I want to be, which is a lot. And I know, right. I know that my highs are much higher than most people's highs.
Fair enough.
But also, like, people kind of count on me for that. You know, like, they look to me in certain situations to be like, are you going to bring the energy so that we can feed off that?
Right, right. There's people who give energy and there's people who take energy. And you're an energy giver.
Or I like to think of it as there are thermostats and there are thermometers. There are people that set the temperature of the room or take the temperature of the room. I'm not always a take the temperature of the room guy. I'm more of a temperature setter, I would
say. Yeah, that's fair. I think that's an apt
description. And I think that's a self-aware thing for me to admit.
And it is. And I'll tell you what. Know thine self. And to thine own self be true. I love pie. You love setting the tone for an evening. I think we both love this beer.
I am pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoy it. Having said that, I know that if I had a couple more, the high would dissipate, you know?
Yeah,
there would
absolutely.
There would be quick diminishing returns, kind of like dessert, you know?
Well, I disagree there. The limit does not exist.
Well, what?
For me.
But I think in general, dessert should be a short-lived treat, right? If you have dessert constantly, that's not good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think with that in mind, I'm going to give Good Pibrations a 3.75 out of 5 toms.
Oh, okay.
I like it. I'm enjoying it. But this is like a couple times a year treat if I was to have it another time, you know?
That's fair.
And I think what I would really want to do in this scenario is I would want to try some of these other pie-related beers from Noon Whistle to compare.
Yeah.
And see which ones maybe tickle my fancy.
That would be an interesting evening. I wonder, I don't think you can get them all at the same time.
No, I'm just saying like throughout a year. Not
right,
in,
right.
But I don't want to go nuts on 12 of these in one night.
I mean, I do, as has been made clear.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm just sharing my perspective.
No, that's fair. Like I said, I got this with the full expectation that this would break the podcast. I thought for sure you would have this and then you'd say, I don't want to do this anymore. You've gone too far. What were you thinking? But I trusted the Noon Whistle brand, and they came through. I think this is fantastic. Like you said, you don't need a ton of these. Like, you can have one and feel good about it. I would be interested in trying some other Pibrations. The one thing that I've realized about myself here is that some of my favorite things were extremely popular like 60 years ago. Baseball, pie. Like, everyone used to have a pie cooling on the windowsill. Like, pie was it. That was the dessert du jour for America. As American as baseball and apple pie. No longer is that true. And this right here is an absolute nostalgia bomb. A throwback to a simpler time when pie, baseball ruled supreme. If you have any memories tied to a banana cream pie, they will absolutely float to the top of your brain when you have this. 4 out of 5, Vince's. Really great job.
Vince, I didn't know that you became Langston Hughes when pie was literally on the table, but
yeah,
you've spoken some of the most eloquent things I've ever heard you say in this episode, and I think it's great.
I love pie. Sue me.
I think when Maura hears this, she's going to start buying more pie.
Oh, no. We already get too much pie for her liking.
Next time we'll do this episode of Baker Square, and then we'll really go crazy. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. I didn't even get to some of my Baker Square memories. We'll have to do that another time.
We'll get a Baker's episode going.
Yeah. And if you want to indulge on some more Friday night beers, there's no health hazards to that. Mm-mm. And we're available on platforms like Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio. Yeah, that's right. We're there.
RIP to Google Podcasts.
And Stitcher.
Is Stitcher dead?
Stitcher's gone, yeah.
Oh, no.
We didn't get a ton of traction out of Stitcher.
That's okay.
But also give us a follow on social media. But until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear pies, full plates.
Must booze. I can't even. I'm having palpitations.
You're so in love with
it. I can't believe you just did that.
Clear pies.
Oh my God, full plates. Oh, what a dream.
Yeah.